The FAA reveals the anticipated UAS test sites, 5 new NTSB General Aviation Safety Alerts, and there's a shakeup in Reno. This is Aero News for Thursday, January 2nd, 2014. I'm Glenn Moyer. First, let me welcome you to the new year. I hope everyone had a safe and joyous holiday. The FAA has announced the selection of the 6 public entities that will develop unmanned aircraft systems, research, and test sites around the country. These congressionally mandated test sites will conduct critical research into the certification and operational requirements necessary to safely integrate UAS into the national airspace over the next several years. The selected sites and institutions include the University of Alaska. Their proposal contained a diverse set of test site range locations in Hawaii and Oregon. The State of Nevada, New York's Griffiths International Airport, North Dakota's Department of Commerce. Their application was the only one to offer a test range in the temperate continental climate zone and included a variety of different airspace which will benefit multiple users. Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi, Virginia Polytechnic Institute, and Virginia Tech. This proposal includes test site range locations in both Virginia and New Jersey. Today, UAS already perform border and port surveillance, help with scientific research and environmental monitoring, support public safety by law enforcement agencies, help state universities conduct research, and support various other missions for government entities. In selecting the 6 test site operators, the FAA considered geography, climate, location of ground infrastructure, research needs, airspace use, safety, aviation experience, and overall risk. As the year drew to a close, the NTSB has issued 5 new safety alerts that provide general aviation pilots with mitigating strategies for preventing accidents. These safety alerts follow 5 that were issued last March at a board meeting that focused on the most frequent types of general aviation accidents. A safety alert is a brief information sheet that pinpoints a particular safety hazard and offers practical remedies to address the issue. The NTSB says that each year, about 475 pilots and passengers are killed, and hundreds more are seriously injured in general aviation accidents in the United States. The 5 new safety alerts are: check your restraints, engine power loss due to carburetor icing, armed for safety, emergency locator transmitters, all secure, all clear, meaning, of course, securing items in the aircraft cabin, and finally, proper use of fiber or nylon self-locking nuts. The board has issued 30 such safety alerts since 2004. Late breaking news over the holiday saw word from the Reno Air Racing Association that President and CEO Mike Houghton has left the organization. In a statement, the RARA said, quote, "The recently restructured board of directors cited recent changes in the governance of the organization and input from key stakeholders that emphasized a need to restructure the day-to-day operations in light of financial challenges facing RARA as reasons behind the departure," end quote. The statement goes on to explain that the event continues to grapple with the financial challenges left in the wake of the 2011 tragedy, with costs having since quadrupled. Operating costs alone have risen by nearly $3 million in the last 2 years, driven primarily by insurance. Well, they just ran out of time. A group building a replica of the Benoist 14 flying boat for a reenactment of the first scheduled airline flight on January 1st was not able to get the airplane ready for the flight. The project was spearheaded by Kermit Weeks, the owner of the Fantasy of Flight attraction between Orlando and Tampa, Florida. On January 1st, 1914, a Benoist 14 carried the first passenger on a regularly scheduled flight between St. Petersburg and Tampa, a flight that took about 30 minutes. It is said to be the beginning of the modern airline, but the St. Petersburg-Tampa airboat line lasted only about 5 months, carrying one passenger at a time at a fare of $5 each way. Weeks had funded and built the replica Benoist himself with the help of volunteers. He had even commissioned an exact replica of the engine built from scratch. But in the end, the FAA did not give the group authorization to test fly the airplane before the planned New Year's Day event. The Tampa Bay Times reports that Weeks still plans to have the airplane flying sometime this year. Bombardier had hoped to fly its new Learjet 85 before 2013 ended, but on December 31st, it announced there would be yet another delay in getting the airplane airborne. Bombardier had planned the airplane's first flight early in 2013, but pushed that projection back by 9 months in February, citing a problem with the manufacture of all-composite fuselage at a plant in Mexico. Media reports indicate that the plane maker said the issue was resolved in October and that a first flight would be coming by end of the year. But now, the company will only say that a first flight is planned, quote-unquote, in the coming weeks. The Learjet 85 is scheduled to enter service in the third quarter of 2014. Wind Aero News continues, where the Boeing 777X will not be built. The end of an era coming at Delta, and they say Havana is lovely this time of year.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, January 2nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. Boeing is cutting down on the number of states where it is considering building the 777X, in anticipation of making an announcement early this year. Company spokesman Doug Alder said that the plane maker has begun notifying officials in states that are no longer under consideration. However, he did not specify which states have been dropped from the list. The Seattle Times, however, reports that officials in North Carolina and Pennsylvania have confirmed that they have received notification from Boeing that they are no longer in the running. Boeing received responses from 54 sites in 22 states when it announced that it was shopping for a location to build the new wide-body airplane. Delta Airlines, on January 6, 2014, that's next Monday, will retire its remaining Douglas DC-9 aircraft following Flight 2014, scheduled to depart Minneapolis-St. Paul for Atlanta at 16:20 Central Standard Time, the last scheduled commercial flight of the DC-9 by a major U.S. airline. The DC-9 retirement comes just months after Delta began taking delivery of its orders of 88 Boeing 717-200 aircraft and 100 Boeing 737-900ER aircraft, which began entering service in October and November, respectively. Delta was the launch customer for the original 65-seat version of the DC-9, back in 1965, as the airplane replaced propeller aircraft on high-frequency, short-haul domestic routes. The twin-engine plane was removed from the Delta fleet in 1993. Delta has flown a total of 305 DC-9s since 1965. To acknowledge the DC-9's retirement, the last flight has been tagged Delta 2014, noting the final year of service, while the preceding flight, operating from Detroit to Minneapolis-St. Paul, will be Delta 1965, the aircraft's initial year of service. In a sign that relations between the U.S. and Cuba may be thawing, the first commercial passenger flight between Key West in Florida and Havana, Cuba, in 50 years, made the flight on Monday with 9 passengers on board. The 90-mile flight was made by a chartered Cessna Conquest. It departed from Key West about 90 minutes after receiving approval from U.S. Customs and Border Protection, according to a report from Fox News. Key West Airport Director Peter Horton said the flight was, quote, just a test run. Whether this is going to come and be a regular service, I don't believe has been determined yet, end quote. The passengers on board the flight included five people involved in a licensed people-to-people cultural exchange program organized by the Florida Keys Tropical Research Ecological Exchange Institute. The license granted by the Obama administration in 2011 allows U.S. citizens to travel to Cuba for educational programs that allow them to interact with ordinary Cubans. The flights have been possible since that license was granted, but it's taken more than 2 years for the first flight to be made. Charter companies said that hurdles included getting the necessary approvals from both the U.S. and Cuban authorities, as well as U.S. customs capacity issues at Key West Airport. It seems the airport can only process 10 people at a time coming from the island nation, including airplane crew. Of course, the more significant question is, does the license allow the import of duty-free Cuban cigars? I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening, and again, welcome to 2014. You're now cleared for departure.